Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rebecca Fraser presents a narrative history of the Mayflower story that connects the personal lives of the passengers to the larger creation story of what became the United States. Rather than treating the voyage as a simple origin myth, the book places the separatists and other travelers within the pressures of early 17th century England and the Netherlands, where religion, politics, and economic survival collided. Fraser follows the planning, financing, and tense logistics that brought a small ship to sail in 1620, then traces the Atlantic crossing and the precarious first months in New England. The book also highlights how a mixed group of families, laborers, servants, and entrepreneurs formed a community through negotiation and necessity. Along the way, familiar touchstones such as the Mayflower Compact and early alliances and conflicts with indigenous peoples are presented in a way that foregrounds human choices and consequences. The result is an accessible account of endurance, improvisation, and legacy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, roots of separatism and the road to exile. A central theme is why a portion of English Protestants concluded that separation, not reform, was their only option. Fraser frames the Pilgrims as people shaped by the religious settlement in England and the risks of nonconformity, including surveillance, fines, and social pressure. The story then widens to show how exile in the Netherlands offered both refuge and new anxieties. In a tolerant environment, the community could worship with less fear, yet daily life introduced strains, economic instability, cultural assimilation, language barriers, and worries about their children growing up outside English norms. The book also emphasizes that the move toward America was not simply spiritual. It required practical answers to hard questions. Who would fund the venture, under what terms, and how would the group balance spiritual aims with the expectations of investors? By exploring these background conditions, the narrative turns the Mayflower voyage into the culmination of years of difficult trade-offs. The decision to leave becomes a measured gamble, rooted in lived experience, rather than a sudden burst of idealism. Secondly, a mixed company, families, strangers, and social tensions, Fraser highlights that the Mayflower passengers were not a uniform band of like-minded believers. Alongside the separatists were other settlers often described as strangers, individuals drawn by opportunity, debt, employment, or adventure rather than theology. This mixture created immediate social and governance challenges. The book explores how class differences, expectations of authority, and competing goals affected cohesion. Family units mattered, but so did the presence of single men, servants, and hired labor, each with different stakes in the venture. Fraser uses this diversity to explain why discipline and mutual obligation became urgent concerns even before landfall. The Mayflower Compact emerges in this context as a practical solution to an immediate problem of legitimacy and order, not merely a symbolic prelude to American democracy. By focusing on relationships, obligations, and conflict, the narrative shows how community formation was an ongoing process rather than a settled fact. This topic also underscores how myth-making can flatten complexity, while the historical reality involved bargaining, resentment, cooperation, and the fragile work of building trust among people who did not all start with the same vision. Thirdly, the voyage, logistics, hardship, and decision-making at sea, the Atlantic crossing is presented as a test of endurance and leadership where mundane constraints shaped outcomes. Fraser emphasizes preparation problems, financing pressures, and the limitations of a small ship carrying people, supplies, and expectations. The voyage is not only a physical ordeal, but also a psychological one, marked by confinement, illness, storms, and uncertainty about navigation and timing. The book's approach connects these hardships to the choices the passengers made as circumstances changed. Delays, shifting plans, and the realities of late-season travel affected where and how they attempted settlement. This topic also highlights the importance of shipboard hierarchy and how disputes could flare when comfort and safety were scarce. The passengers carried not just provisions but also assumptions about authority, labor, and fairness, and those assumptions were challenged by risk. By concentrating on the voyage as a sequence of decisions under pressure, Fraser keeps the story grounded in contingency. The eventual arrival in New England appears less like destiny and more like the outcome of weather, bargaining, and persistence, with consequences that extended far beyond the people on board. Fourthly, survival and settlement, the first winter and the creation of Plymouth. The founding of Plymouth is depicted as an improvised response to immediate danger rather than the execution of a clean blueprint. Fraser details how exploration for a viable site, building shelter, rationing food, and maintaining morale became urgent tasks as winter set in. Disease, malnutrition, and exposure made the first season catastrophic, reshaping families through death and forcing survivors into new roles. The book emphasizes how governance and labor arrangements were tested by scarcity. Decisions about who worked, who guarded, and how supplies were distributed carried moral and political weight. Community leaders had to enforce rules while also keeping a fragile population committed to a common project. This topic also frames Plymouth as a settlement that required constant adaptation, from constructing homes to organizing planting and trade. The narrative shows how survival depended on both collective action and the presence of individuals with useful skills. In highlighting the first winter, Fraser underscores the human cost behind commemorations. The settlement's continuation was not guaranteed, and its endurance required a blend of discipline, cooperation, and luck. Lastly, encounter and consequence, Indigenous relations and the shaping of a national origin story. Fraser places Indigenous peoples and regional politics at the center of the Plymouth story, showing that the newcomers entered an already complex world. The book explores how alliances, mistrust, and diplomacy emerged from asymmetric needs. The settlers required food, knowledge of the land, and security, while Native communities faced their own strategic calculations amid recent disease impacts and rivalries. Agreements could be pragmatic and temporary, shaped by shifting power rather than sentiment. By examining these encounters, the narrative resists a simplistic tale of harmony or inevitable conflict, and instead stresses contingency and consequence. This topic also considers how later generations turned the Mayflower into a national symbol, often smoothing over the messy realities of negotiation, land pressure, and cultural misunderstanding. Fraser's approach encourages readers to see memory as an active process. Stories are selected, repeated, and given moral meaning. The Mayflower becomes not only a historical event, but also a foundational narrative that influenced how Americans understood settlement, self-government, and identity. The book invites reflection on what is celebrated, what is omitted, and why those choices still matter. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a readable, narrative-driven history of the Mayflower that goes beyond a ceremonial Thanksgiving version of events. It will appeal to general history fans, students, and anyone curious about how ordinary people, families, and conflicting personalities helped shape an enduring national origin story. The main benefit is perspective. By linking religious conflict, migration pressures, financial realities, and survival challenges, the book helps readers understand how large historical outcomes often grow from constrained choices made under stress. That perspective can sharpen how a reader evaluates modern debates about identity, community rules, and the stories nations tell about themselves. Compared with many similar Mayflower books, Fraser's emphasis on the families and the full social mix of passengers makes the narrative feel less like a monument and more like lived history. The voyage, settlement, and early diplomacy are treated as interconnected problems to solve, not as a straight line toward destiny. That combination of human detail and broader context makes it worth buying for readers who want both story and substance, and who prefer history that acknowledges complexity without becoming inaccessible. If you would like to support Rebecca Fraser, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.